As we go into preparation for being off-grid, we must have even greater efforts to be off-greed. We must eliminate all of the ego's locatorialities, all of its creation of loci, of territories of control, and surrender the ego at every point where we recognize that it is trying to remain in control of the phenomenal rather than surrendering to the noumenal in radical acceptance. It is this acceptance, this surrender, that gains one the sovereignty of the absolute pure spirit. You need to surrender to gain sovereignty, but you need sovereignty in order to surrender. You can only surrender that which you control. And so although the ego is out of control, and it may be completely insane, you have the ability to surrender that ego if you are loyal to God. Nothing can stop you from surrendering your ego. But you must choose deliberately to take refuge with the Buddha, with the Lord, with the teacher guiding you to the Buddha, with the Dharma, the practice, with the Sangha, the whole community of service, all sentient beings, the whole Mahasutratma is the Sangha. All of that must be surrendered to so that one can cross the diaphanon into the real sovereignty that is liberation. And this is the moment for that to occur, or the window of opportunity closes. Continuing with Sri Ramana, we are now at 103. Scenes are projected on the screen in the cinema show, but the moving pictures do not affect or alter the screen. The spectator pays attention to them, the images, not to the screen. They cannot exist, however, apart from the screen, and yet the screen is ignored. So also, the self is the screen where the pictures, the activities, etc., are going on. A man is aware of the latter, but not aware of the essential former. All the same, the world of pictures is not apart from the self. Whether he is aware of the screen or unaware, the actions continue. So, it's even more true today. Ramana didn't have the TV screen, he had the movie screen as an example, or the computer screen, which produces the images from within itself rather than being projected from an external light. So it's even more accurate to understand how the pictures are both not different from the screen because they are the production of the intelligence that underlies that screen itself, but the pictures are not the real. They are the flux, the impermanent. The screen remains. And it is only when one has focused one's interest on the screen, the actual power behind the screen becomes revealed. The software of creation, the chit. The screen is the sat, the intelligence, the chit. The ananda is the real enjoyment of what is being produced, which cannot be enjoyed while you are an image on the screen. The images on the screen suffer, but the aware intelligence that is producing the drama, but without being captured by it, who has sovereignty over it, who is the dreamer, who creates, sustains, transforms, destroys, recreates, that power is the sovereignty that now must be gained. By completely abolishing all attachment to any figure in the screen itself, the images are the imaginary. All of this phenomenal plane is not real, but the intelligence that configures, that produces it, that is the ultimate awareness of it, the ultimate enjoyer of it, and the ultimate transformer of it. That is the real self. But that must be known by your choice to surrender your identification with the character in the movie who is motivated by greed for its jouissance and has lost all of its nobility that gives it the right and the authority to realize its true nature, the creator behind its activation, and ultimately to transcend the characterization into the vibrational frequency of that creative power that is our Supreme Lord. There is only one consciousness subsisting in the states of waking, dream, and sleep. In sleep, there is no I as an ego I. There is no I thought in sleep. Thought arises on waking, and then the world appears. Where was this I in sleep? Was it there or was it not? It must have been there also, or you'd be dead. You wouldn't wake up. You wouldn't hear the alarm clock even in deep sleep if you weren't aware the I is there. But the I is not there in the way that you feel it now. The sleeping I is actually the real I. That is what subsists all through all the avastas. That is consciousness itself. If that is known, you will see that it is beyond thoughts. So the same state that you are in deep sleep, if you were to be aware of yourself in that sleep state, you would be in luminous, blissful, infinite consciousness that transcends time and space, not in darkness and non-existence because of identifying with thought. So you must practice becoming, remaining awake when thought disappears, not falling asleep as one tends to do in meditation when the mind stops producing thoughts. Stay awake and realize the underlying presence. That's the screen that never changes, that produces the avastas, but is always beyond them and never affected by what is happening within either dream or the waking dream. One is always immune to affect, immune to suffering. And it is that is the conferring of sovereignty. Ramana goes on, there is solitude everywhere. The individual is solitary always. His business is to find out within and not without. Do not allow yourself to be distracted. Inquire for whom there is distraction. You say the answer does not come from the search inward. The inquirer is the answer, and no other answer can come. What comes cannot be true. What is true. This is very profound, but very subtle. I hope that you get what he's talking about. You are in solitude right now. You might think you're in a group, but you're entirely alone. And what you think of as the world is only your dream, but the characters in the dream are all yourself. But are you in communion with yourself, with your own solitude? Or have you distracted yourself through beliefs that you're in a crowd, that you're in conflict with others, that you're in a context and a situation and some difficulty, but it's all produced by the mind. Why? Because the mind hates solitude. It prefers an insane form of mental suffering to the silence of solitude. Because solitude is ultimately the end of the ego itself. It's not that the ego is alone in its solitude, it's the ego is not there in solitude. And so it prefers to be there, suffering, hating itself, hating the world, rather than enjoying the peace of solitude. It prefers hatred as a distraction from the emptiness, the silence that is the portal to God. So Ramana says, do not be distracted. Inquire for whom the distraction is being produced. And you will discover that the answer to that question, the answer to who am I, is not an object that you can perceive, or a concept, or a thing, or a sudden experience or imperience. It's not a vision that you will have. It's not an aha. No, because the answer cannot come. Because anything that comes will go. Anything that arises will disappear. The self is eternally present. And so it's when you stop looking for the answer that you realize you are the answer. You are the screen upon which the world is being projected. You are the source of it all. You are sovereign and you are free. That must be claimed in all of its majesty, glory, and infinite potentiality now in this last margin of time before the destruction of this phenomenal plane and the end of the opportunity for liberation. Use every moment for the infinite preciousness that it is. May you know the peace that comes of surrendering ever deeper and more subtle levels of the ego. And abiding in the heart of God in a total state of peace, stability, love, joy, satisfaction, and fulfillment. And may you know the even deeper peace of the realization of the sovereignty of consciousness in its most infinite dimensionality, in its greatest perfection, in its pure and perfect goodness and creative intelligence that produces new worlds of heavenly delight for all sentient beings emerging from the infinite source to enjoy, to celebrate, to realize the beauty of God consciousness. And may you reach that supreme peaceful bliss of liberation on the absolute throne of total transcendence.